It's 6:30, and I will call the Plan Commission meeting on Monday, January 26th at the Alloway Village Hall to order. And first item of business is roll call. Colada?
Present.
Dart?
Here.
Hanson?
Here.
Kornowski?
Present.
Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Yep.
Okay. Retzlaff? Not here yet. Rupp?
Here.
And Kaprud, present. We have a new member, but I see that. We'll look at that under announcement. Okay. If we would, if anybody has any concerns about the agenda, otherwise I would be looking for a motion to approve it. Dart made the motion.
I'll second.
And seconded by Hanson. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. And next item of business are the minutes from the November 24th meeting. Has everybody had a chance to take a look at those? Any concerns or questions? If not, I'll be looking for a motion to approve.
I have a question.
Okay.
Under public appearances, I know Becky Nyberg is listed as a resident, which she is, but she's also a member of the Brown County Health Department, so I'm not sure, was she... What capacity was she speaking to us?
A little bit of both, I would say.
So I don't know if that should be
okay.
Listed as Brown County Health Department also.
Okay.
And then she did have a good point about the Safe Routes to School plan. As the village makes some improvements to the plan, when are we going to update this as improvements are constructed?
I think we have that on later on the agenda. We talk about
correct.
What we're going to do with that.
And then the other question I have on page 3, under discussion of Plan Commission goals, I see we've added it now as a goal about learning about the Connect Communities program. If later on during that discussion, if Trevor could tell us what that program even is, because they met with the Economic Development Committee but not with the Planning Commission, so we haven't heard about that, or I haven't heard about that program yet.
Okay. Is that something that you can include later on in your report, Trevor? Okay. Okay, so under public appearances, the change would be to note that Becky is also with the Brown County Health Department. Roger, we're just taking a look at the minutes. Did you have any concerns with the minutes from the meeting?
No.
Okay. Okay, with that one change, is there anything else? If not, a motion to approve?
So moved.
Motion by Colada, second by Dart. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. And the next item are announcements, Trevor.
Yes, the first one. The quarter study. Bridge provided us with a tentative schedule and included that in the packet. The two dates I really want to identify are the February 10th and the March 10th. These are going to be open houses. And they're going to be open to the public. The first one's going to really just be laying out maps and getting as much input from the public as possible. March 10th one is going to be pretty much the same, but it's going to be more narrowing the focus as far as what they learned from the first meeting and kind of hopefully kind of enhance that. So.
Okay, and those meetings would be, the open houses would be here?
They will be here. Time is yet to be determined.
Okay.
And
then you'll send out an email and let us know?
Yes.
Okay.
The next update was the update on the Riverside Drive project. I was hoping by now we would have a date set for the next meeting. I haven't heard of one yet. I know they said, yeah. February of the week. But I did speak with Craig Burke, the public works director, and he said the only update they really had, and it's not really official yet, is that they said there will most likely not be roundabouts at St. Joseph on Riverside Drive. So he said it's not official, but more likely that's what they said. That's what the DOT has to do.
That it just doesn't work out with the land acquisition that would be needed, or
it's more the traffic to get too congested.
Okay. And we have a new plan commission member. Do you want to tell us about yourself? Or?
Sure. Hi, I'm Wes. Me and my fiance just moved to Alloway about 2 months ago. We love it so far. And I look forward to helping out in any way I can. I was a village administrator in a previous career in Illinois, and decided to move back home. I'm from DePere, so I took a position up here outside of government, but happy to get back involved and again, help in any way that I can.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
We're glad you're here.
Thank you.
Brad.
I just have one more announcement that I'd like to share with you. On Friday, a race permit was taken out for a home on 2120 Riverside Drive, and it was taken out today. Right now, we don't know what the plans are for that particular property. It's under Buck River Trail LLC.
What's that zone?
It's industrial. Mm-hmm. Light industrial.
Is it a large parcel?
It's part of it. There are two parcels they bought both.
One was vacant and now they tore the house down on the other one?
Right. Okay. The house that was there, look at the record, just to get an idea. And it has been occupied for several years.
Oh.
And the last water bill that was sent was in 2006.
Okay.
It's been quite some time that this house has been vacant.
Was it listed for sale for that long, too?
Yes.
It was.
Where exactly is that?
Excuse me. Just north of Twigs. It was that roof house. Had a lot of shrubbery in the front, so it was kind of hidden. It's a rather large home.
Depending on what happens in the future and with the Riverside project, would there be maybe, depending on what's put there, maybe an opportunity for an easement or something to get down to the trail? If there's sidewalk, it might be, I mean, we don't get too many opportunities, and that's been an ongoing issue for many, many, many years, so it just might be something to consider in the future.
Will that come to the village for a combination CSM if they do combined parcels that you would look at it then?
I would think so.
Okay.
You know, right now, the property was purchased 2 months ago. About 2 months ago, and they moved this quickly to remove the home. We haven't seen any other plans.
Okay.
You said it was 2160?
2120. 2120. 2110. 2110 is the large vacant lot.
Can I ask for one other update on, all of a sudden the village strategic plan came out of nowhere. Is there, can there be just an update what this is? How does this tie into our conference and plan? Or really, what's the intent of the strategic planning process?
Right now you can go online and fill out the survey. It's the same basic questions that were asked by Michael Frona. Came in and helped lead this discussion. What we're doing is we're trying to incorporate a lot of different things. And yes, I mean, it has to look back at the comprehensive plan as well. The same as the corridor study. All those things are being identified, and this is just yet another tool that we're looking at utilizing for the corridor study itself. Kind of get a feel for what are we doing well as a community, what are we doing that's maybe not so good, what do people like about the community, things that they would like to see never change within the community, whether it's services or what we provide. So that's kind of what we're looking for, is a lot of those answers. So the online will be up for a few more weeks yet. I think it's up to the 10th of February. So get an opportunity. It's been emailed a few times. I think you've probably seen it a couple times come through.
Four times.
Are you getting a lot of responses?
The first day that went online, it was one group that Jenny was able to send to. She had 285 names on there, and 100 and some opened it, and I can't remember what the number was that actually went on to look at the survey itself. So they're tracking it, and one could have given them back.
I forwarded it a couple times. Will it still track those
times? I'm not sure.
I forwarded it to my neighborhood.
Good. The more people that respond, the better. Thank you.
So is there an opportunity that data could come back here to discuss? That might be very valuable. Just what are the thoughts of the community?
Yeah, we'll come to the building board hopefully on February 17th. And we can certainly share the data with the planning commission. That's not a problem.
Thank you.
I don't know if this is the area, Trevor, that if you could just let us know what the Connect Communities is about.
Could I make one more comment about the visioning plan?
Sure.
I was a little concerned about the village board president's comment that the comprehensive plan, and I'm paraphrasing, is kind of a dusty old document that nobody really refers to. I think we need to address that issue because my impression is it is the vision statement for the community, and maybe it's formatting or something, but somehow I think we need to make it a more living document so that the committees use it as for reference and the like. So.
And that's certainly one of the things, Roger, that we're doing the corridor study. Mm-hmm. We wanted to be a document that we can achievable goals within the document. And actually see the results. And I think you're right. I mean, all of these, as the corridor study is being worked on, are identified. All those plans that were completed by the village, the corridor, or the comprehensive plan, the park and rec plan, the riverfront development plan, from Green Bay, Brown County's plan, all those are going to be a part of what the corridor study will be, because they have to match.
Any other questions? Anybody have any other questions on the strategic plan? Could you just tell us a little bit about what the Connect Communities is about?
Sure. The Connect Communities program is a program through the WBC, and it's designed to accommodate communities with a business district or a downtown area that isn't necessarily historic. So we wouldn't qualify for the Main Street program. It offers a lot of the same services as the Main Street program, but it doesn't require as much from us because there really isn't that much potential yet. So some of the services it includes is technical assistance, some networking opportunities, some educational opportunities. Really just
They're working with the Economic Development Committee right now.
Melita Burke is the area representative for the EDC for this area, and she came at the December meeting, I believe, and spoke to the Economic Development Committee about the various programs that EDC offers, and Connect Communities was one of those.
That's not a designation, then? It's just like a group? Is it a designation like a Main Street city would be, or is it a...
It would be a designation, but it's not...
You have to apply to be selected,
okay,
to be in the group. How many did it take to choose? Like 9?
Yeah.
Is it just a Wisconsin thing? Do you know?
It is through Wisconsin, so I'm...
Okay.
It's in your program, too. Melita said what happens here. We've seen a lot of applicants that wanted to apply to the Main Street program, but weren't necessarily qualified either yet or, you know, we never qualified. So they created this program. Either lead communities to the Main Street program or as just something for communities to go have a historic downtown.
I think a lot of it is forums to share information.
So is the village thinking about like Webster or Riverside or just gathering the information right now?
I don't think it's specific to an area like Main Street program is.
Okay.
It's more generic.
For the whole community?
Mm-hmm. I was emailing Trevor today about, is it Pulaski? I had sent out the questions to, and they're getting their business, or was that the other one? One of them, they get their business association involved, and they get more businesses. Mm-hmm. So... We're looking at what a couple other communities are doing, just to see what kind of uses there are for it.
It looks like we would probably qualify then, whatever their requirements are.
Trevor's looked at the application. I have not.
Yeah, I think we would.
Okay.
We need a, you know, obviously we need houses, but she said
any other questions for Trevor or Brad? Otherwise, we will move on to number five, the public appearances. Yes. Hold on and state your name and address.
Jim Ola, 2339 Oakwood Avenue. I belong to a variety of historic groups. Every 100 years, Annalee goes through a renaissance. This week, I witnessed the continuation of the second renaissance that we're currently in. The tearing down of the Holgrave House and the old brewery, a house that was overlooked by both the state and our Historic Preservation Committee, was significant. I was out there with one of the relatives today. I took videos, I got pictures. Sometimes we have to let go of the old buildings to make room for the new. So we're going through a renaissance now. That particular property is an absolutely beautiful property. It's the old Henry Baird, our first attorney, first purchased from the fur traders. So this is our second renaissance. The 2020s is going to be the second renaissance for AOA. The first renaissance was in the 1920s. When Green and Vroman replatted Halloway and the Camp Smith property, and we ended up getting water, municipal water, and we became a destination suburb. And then the first settling that happened in Halloway was when Judge Doty and Robert Irwin settled our community down along the Fox River at the end of Galloway Avenue, and so that was 200 years ago. So we're currently in our second renaissance, going into our third 100 year of existence. So it's important that this committee recognizes that we have to have a vision for what we want our waterfront to be. The free market is now currently running the waterfront, and they're doing a pretty good job. They've torn down four houses in the last 5 months down there, and they're getting rid of the substandard housing stock, and they're going to be putting together some pretty nice properties. So I think that it's just very important that we recognize that previous studies that have been done were not done properly, and that we have to take a fresh look, recognize that this is our second renaissance, and that we really have to have a pretty good vision for what our waterfront should look like, and that includes access to the trails. And in response to the easement, there is an easement exactly on that property. It was the first easement created in the state, actually west of Lake Michigan, between Lake Michigan and the Pacific Ocean, for public access to the water. And that was the easement for St. John's Church. that easement still shows up on our county maps. I don't think it's been used since St. John's Church burned down 150 years ago, but it still shows up on our county maps. And that goes from from the riverfront to St. John's Church and to the grave of, I believe, Charles Langley. Thank you.
Thank you. There does not appear to be anybody else here for public appearances. Anybody have any questions?
Jim, you mentioned that the township was platted in the at the time it got water service. So,
well, the first subdivision was in 1817, and so that was of the Ducharme property. So he subdivided. He was a British citizen, and he subdivided his farmland. He was the first one to do that.
And where was that?
That is on Crest Court and Riverside Drive. So the Ducharme property went from Crest Court to the house that was torn down. And so he gave Colonel Joseph Ducharme gave the first American a site to build his first store, and that was the Irwin. That's the descendant. Senator Coles is the descendant of that family. And the easement that I talked about in the creation of the first parish church in the state, St. John's, that was the other end of the property where there's a yellow fire hydrant there. So that's the end of the property. So from Crest Court to the yellow fire hydrant was marked the Ducharme property.
So it was just a small percentage of the township, and then other plattings occurred through the years throughout the rest of
the township. Green Bay was established in 1818 when Brown County was established. Ducharme was the first one to start subdividing his property. John Law gave his leased his property to the United States Army to build Camp Smith, and then he subdivided it, and the old schoolhouse from Camp Smith became First Federal Courthouse. And that courthouse was stolen by a neighboring community in 1837, and that's when we started to go down there. So our first Renaissance, we had our birth and our settlement. Our first Renaissance was in the 1920s with the Roaring Twenties after World War One. We got the municipal water, we got the Murphy Coles estate, and some of the other, the Bryling property. So we had the Roaring Twenties, and now here we are in the 2020s. And so I'm seeing a second Renaissance here, and it's kind of exciting.
Any other questions for Jim? Thank you. Number six is approval of the raising ordinance amendment.
Before I go into this, I want to just this afternoon around 3 o'clock, I received an email from Jennifer Sundstrom. She's a representative from the Realtors Association in Northeast Wisconsin, and she had a few things that she would like me just to address the Plan Commission regarding this amendment. First was she was concerned about the number of residential structures impacted. She said it wasn't clear. The second one was the delay period of the approval of permits on structures without voluntary participation by the property owner. Third one was effectiveness. She thought the amendment wouldn't educate the public, but would rather disenfranchise them. And I'm paraphrasing, of course, because she sent a page and a half. And then her recommendations was she applied the Historic Preservation Committee for allowing the raised permit to run concurrently with the site plan review process. And then she also asked that the Plan Commission would allow for a checkbox at the end of the raised permit to see if the owner was in favor of the raised assistance or not. And to that, the amendment chapter 424. They both have to do with race raising permit process. Chapter 13, The Village Valley is a CLG, Certified Local Government, and as such, there are certain federal requirements that we have to follow, and I believe most of those are outlined in Chapter 424. One of those requirements is that we are supposed to, if a home is listed on the National Register or state, it's locally designated as historically significant. There does have to be a 30-day review period if the race permit is taken out. So that's currently in Chapter 424. But it's not spelled out in Chapter 13 as it is now. So what we did was we included a section in Chapter 13 that would direct a reader to Chapter 424 so that they are aware of the raising permit review. And then under Section 2 on Chapter 13, Item B, that has to do exactly what Jeff Sundstrom asked from the Historic Preservation Committee. So that's really Chapter 13. And in Chapter 424, it looks like there's a lot of changes, but it's really just reformatting the ordinance. There are some procedures that were identified outside of the procedure section, so what I did right there is just move those. And then, while we're amending the ordinance, we should do it now. The biggest change in Chapter 424 is on page 424-6, number 3, and you see that 60 days and 90 days is highlighted. What the Historic Preservation Committee decided was that any single family homes would have a review period of 60 days as opposed to 30 days, and any non-single family homes would have a review period of 90 days as opposed to 30 days. That really isn't a whole lot longer than what other communities have. For instance, the Pierre and Fond du Lac have 6-month review period. And so 60 or 90 days isn't too much. But in amending this ordinance, the next paragraph, we took out a sentence, and I was reading this over late last week, and I realized that we should have probably kept that in. And so it would be my recommendation tonight to reinsert that with the additional comma afterwards, unless otherwise noted in Section 424.6, Section 3, or C3, which is that paragraph just before, because there is no timeline. If we take out that sentence, there is no timeline for other certificate of appropriateness review periods. I hope I didn't lose too many people. I guess if there are any questions. Are there any questions?
So just so we're clear, you want to leave the last sentence and then say unless otherwise noted in that section above.
Correct.
Okay.
Trevor, would you repeat who that email came from and what her connection is with?
Jennifer Sundstrom. She's a representative for the Realtors of Northeast Wisconsin.
I think she's the legislative liaison for the Association of Realtors.
She attended the Historic Preservation Committee meeting when we first were looking at this to explain her concerns. I don't think she came to this committee, though, did she?
No.
Who
is she?
To the Plan Commission? Historic Preservation, I think. Are there any questions of Trevor, or does everybody understand that page 424-6, number 4, after the large purple section, that last sentence would be put back in place, and then unless...
You mean the one that...
That says, the committee shall make this decision within 30 days of the filing of the application, and then also add to that, unless otherwise noted in section above, or I don't know if you're going to put the actual number of the section above. Okay.
Oh.
Does everybody understand that?
Is there going to be some confusion with in the second sentence under 3, where it's to raise a building that's in blue, and then after that, such application shall be filed, and then saying the committee shall make a decision within 30 days of the filing? Can we change that to not confuse people, or?
I'm sorry.
The second sentence in that section 3, the big purple section.
Okay.
Such application shall be filed with the Historic Preservation Committee upon such application. And then in that sentence that you struck out in the third.
Okay.
I guess before.
Yeah.
So the 60 and 90 days in section 3, that would apply only to the reviewing grace permits.
Okay.
Then in this ordinance, it also spells out that if a home is listed on the National Register or state or locally recognized, a property owner would have to file for a certificate of appropriateness in order to do certain projects on their homes. And that is what would mean that there would be a review period. That makes sense. This makes sense to me, so...
Yeah.
The 60 to 90 is for raising, and then the 30 is if you want to put an addition on it or do some remodeling. Something that would require the certificate of appropriateness. Any other questions?
I'm just wondering, should item in paragraph 4 here, should you... indicate that this is for alterations, additions.
The assumption
I had is that 4 would also be raising, wasn't
okay.
For an addition, yeah. So that's why.
Okay. Yeah, I've been working on this for a few months, so it helps have a fresh pair of eyes.
Or if you put that section before the other section, because that kind of falls under the C, regulation of construction, reconstruction, and then have the raising go after that, that might be more clear.
Okay.
The terminology used in the state building code would be alterations, additions, and new construction.
Trevor, just for my understanding, how many raising applications were submitted in 2014?
We actually saw, I think, a little bit of influx.
Five.
Okay,
five.
Five.
Okay.
So
I was going to say three.
Prior to that, how many? Like 1 year?
I think so, 1 or 2 years.
So it's good to have, but I'm just trying to understand like some of the pressures. It's some of these outside groups sending emails and other things, and I understand they have what they need to represent, and that's fine, but we should take that into the scope of what's really happening in the village. But that's for Trustee Dart and the other elected officials to vote on.
Is this something with these changes that we want to take back to Historic Preservation to take a look at, or would you be looking for an approval with these amendments?
I would prefer approval with the amendments.
Okay. And everybody's clear on the amendments that we would put that number 4 before the number 3, renumber it, and then have that last sentence be part of it and not be stricken. Everybody understand that? Okay. And I would be looking for a motion to approve with those changes.
Well, I do have some other comments.
Okay, do you want to ask them now?
Sure. I don't know. I wrote up a bunch of stuff that I saw as I read through this, and just a couple of things. Like, The ordinance talks about National Register and State Register, but doesn't define what those are. I think they should be defined. There's some clumsy wording under powers and duties. There's just some grammatical things like villages with an apostrophe S. Basically, an inanimate object cannot be in the personal possession. So just some cleanups like those. Certificate of appropriateness is not capitalized in one place. So I can...
Is that something you could pass on to Trevor to clean up?
I can pass on the list.
So it's just basically cleanup?
Yeah, it's just basically cleanup stuff. Okay. It doesn't really change the sense of anything. So.
Okay.
I guess one other question, not with this. If we make a recommendation to pass this, does our site plan review need an additional checkbox added to that?
Yeah.
Or is it already in there?
I don't know.
Whether it's,
what's the checkbox?
Well, there was a discussion about before about...
I guess that would be up to you if you wanted to, include that, but really... This applies to only right now, currently just homes within Heritage Hill and one home on Patch Street.
Oh, okay.
And within the reformatory walls.
Right. And so...
Do we have any jurisdiction over Heritage Hill? It's really... Isn't it state property?
Well, they did... They do come to us for the certificate of appropriateness. They did for that new guard house.
Okay.
Because they wanted that on the to be locally designated, they asked us to have that done. Mm-hmm. So they went through that process, and then because they were moving it and changing it, then they had to come back for the certificate of appropriateness. The other buildings, I don't think, would have to come back to us, the ones that are on the National Register.
No.
I don't think so. If they wanted to change a window or something, I don't think that would come to us. I think this. State would be looking, well, because those are state-owned facilities, they have to jump through so many more hoops at the state level than they would ever at the village.
Now, the only other thing I saw is that in this, on page 424-6, paragraph 3, that big purple one, down near the bottom, it talks about monies obtained and available for disbursement within a period of 30 days. If they have to get lending, they're never going to get it in 30 days. That's going to be pretty much impossible to achieve. I would say a time frame of at least 180 days would be necessary. But that's just something that I know somebody's going to have to think about more thoroughly. Lenders just don't respond
that fast. I'm not sure exactly what their name is. Maybe you know, Trevor, the Historic Trust, Brown County Historic Trust? Is that what Bobby is on?
Something, right.
They said that they would be able to help the person look for funds or grants. So as another group, I'm not sure exactly what the role is or what they've done for other people in our area.
They don't
but
have any money at
right,
this point.
Right. There's somebody on the Historic Preservation Committee that is, I think she's the secretary of that group, and she says, oh, that's what we do. So she said, oh, we would get them in touch with them to try to help secure funds. So.
I just think it's that time frame is impossible to achieve for most grants, or especially for loans, if they're going to seek some sort of financing for a project. But.
I don't know that we'd want to... stretch it out. That's the Jennifer's concern. But obviously, if somebody would be willing to work with us, that could be extended.
The other thing that, and that I don't know if you could cover it, where it would be covered in our ordinances, but somehow a periodic education program for owners of historic properties, historically listed properties, where they're regularly informed of their responsibilities under ordinance is appropriate. So, if ownership changes or...
If we do have any historic districts and we're working on potentially applying for a grant for one later this year, we would keep in close contact with them. And,
But I'm just saying, you know, we all disappear.
Right.
Historic Preservation Board.
Right.
Committee completely changed, you know. But so there's something that the village regularly does to inform owners if they own a historic property that, or they're in a historic district, that there are these resources and responsibilities. You know.
Like an annual newsletter that is sent out? Or maybe we could put that on an agenda for our next
Maybe there's something that's published by the state, by the Wisconsin State Historical Society, that once we have homes that are now on the National Register of Historic Places, that they become accessible, all those documents become accessible to those homeowners. We don't know that, but that's something for us to discuss to make sure that it doesn't, we don't just put a plaque on the side of the house and then forget about it. Yeah.
So you could put that on a future agenda?
Yep, that's a future agenda item.
Howard is the chair for that committee. So we'll get that on a future agenda. It's a good idea. Anything else?
I did have objections that I made at the Historic Preservation Committee's office. So I'm going to that, but I should be
there. Okay. If there isn't anything else, then a motion to approve the raising ordinance with the corrections and with Roger's cleanup items. Is there a motion?
I move.
There's been a motion and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor of signify by saying aye.
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 And opposed? Carried. The next item on the agenda, approval of the approach to the bicycle and pedestrian plan. Trevor?
This came as a result of Becky Hybrid addressing the transmission back in November. And also from Craig Burns, the public works director, he would like something in place that identifies who more of the areas in the village as they take on projects that could use pedestrian access or bicycle. So really what the plan, what Craig and I are envisioning for creating the plan is essentially taking a lot of the policy that's spelled out in the state across the school, but kind of expanding on the scope of what we're including, the area includes in the village. So right now, the Safe Routes to School plan only covers areas leading to schools, and the alleyway bike and pet plan would cover the whole road. So I guess what I'm asking tonight is really whether or not the Plan Commission wants to take on this task as a committee, or if they would like the village board to appoint an ad hoc commission, and maybe a few plan commission members sit on that ad hoc committee.
Any thoughts on that?
I would think that this, that group already, they are going to know more information than anyone else. They've been looking at it for how many years, Brad? Yeah, I would almost think that we want to use their expertise and maybe include some other people in there.
You're referring to the alley lots and bikes?
Yes.
They are not an official village committee?
I realize that.
Okay, so I guess either...
But couldn't we still use them?
Right, yes. Either
as part of a
they could maybe submit their notes and have discussions as far as where they think in the village would be the best places to incorporate more into future public works projects. So that's an option, or some of their members could also sit on an ad hoc committee.
if the board decided on an ad hoc committee, could they just ask some of those people to be on that committee?
Yeah.
I'm on that committee. And I think that's a good idea.
Okay, Jim.
The LA the Safe Routes to School Committee, the reason why I like it is one of its goals is to combat childhood obesity, not only to get the kids to school safely, but to get the kids exercising. You have committed people who go to meetings once a month on a regular basis, and they're pretty well in tune with what's going on with the Safe Routes to School. And the goal that we have now is to connect our two trails. We need east-west corridors connecting our East River Trail and our Fox River Trail, and getting the kids riding their bikes from school to the trails and doing things, and the general public. So the Safe Routes to School is a core mandate, okay? And we use that as what we're supposed to be doing, and then through that we say, how else can we improve the community? And that's how we're looking at the east-west corridors as well as the north-south corridors. So we'd like to see combat childhood obesity, which is one of the key points of the Safe Routes to School legislation. But to create a whole other committee, if you split the committee in half and tell them that they got to go to another meeting, people are going to drop off. Yeah, I think we have too many meetings anyway. I think we can do things a lot more efficiently and just share information in a better way rather than forming new committees.
Roger, I think you attend those meetings.
Yeah,
too,
I do. And my impression is that the committee is focused mainly on recreational interests for walking and biking and not so much on transportation interests. Other than the Safe Routes to School, that's a transportation issue. So another problem is that the committee meets at 8:30 in the morning with most working people will choose not to be there. So you don't get a good cross-section of people. If they could meet in the evenings when more people could attend, or at least have some meetings when they do surveys and have discussions to, you know, get more information about what people are looking for in the way of bike and ped facilities. I know that, you know, I could outline an area of my neighborhood where you could send surveys to all of the houses to find out how people, I mean, a lot of people there walk recreationally, you know, in the streets, and it would be good to know how often they do that and, you know, what routes they take and to have a sense, because I don't think the bike ped plan is just marking routes on a map for this. We also have to look at our ordinances, and, you know, I brought this up before, state law doesn't really permit walking and in the street for recreation. So so I think we need to take some action as a community if we want to provide facilities that encourage the activity rather than discourage or punish it in some way. So,
so probably work with, do we have a public safety committee? We don't have public works anymore.
Public Works.
Public Works, okay.
The public safety and public works are combined.
Okay, to be a public works committee. So
a public works almost never deals with these issues.
Oh,
issues
don't.
Of bike and ped transportation.
I'm sorry, Roger, there are 7 a.m. meetings.
Okay.
Oof.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is actually a good time.
It's kind of...
So, I mean, the person that... coordinates the Green Bay Bicycle Collective resides in Alloway. So, I mean, I would think that would be a person to bring in to start because she has a broader set of connections with people who bicycle in the community. And there might be some walking groups here, too. We'll find out what those are.
Is that something that you feel the plan commission should be looking at, or we should have
We'd want a
subcommittee
oversee it
right.
More comprehensively and take an actual plan development approach.
Mm-hmm.
to the to redoing this plan. We hired, Green Bay, or not, but Brown County Planning to do the initial plan. I think it's a good framework, but we need to look at that thoroughly. I would start maybe with a subcommittee of the Plan Commission,
okay.
Three people that would meet separately and bring recommendations. So.
Okay. And are you thinking that it would be just comprised of Plan Commission members then, or having...
Initially, to develop an outline for how to approach the plan.
Okay.
And then... those people could talk to the walks and bikes people and other people they might know in the community. It would be nice if the village board member could be part of that subcommittee. So I don't know if Penny wants to or another person on the board would want to. But, and that would be starting the framework. So that, we could develop, it's really an update to our current plan.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to look at what's going on with Riverside Drive, future plans for Webster Avenue. When the corridor study comes out, see what elements are involved there. So.
Does the commission feel that would be the best way to go?
Yeah, I've been through a couple of SRTS grant processes in the past, and it's 5 years ago, so I don't really change that much, but they're kind of two separate animals. When we're looking at a bicycle plan for the community, we invoke the Illinois League of Bicyclists. We commission them to come in, have a representative sit with the ad hoc committee of the Plan Commission, same thing Rogers was referencing, and that worked really well, because the SRTS projects are very defined in scope and what they have to accomplish, and that committee, if, I don't know where they are in the grant application process or anything like that, but it's going to be very intensive as you move forward in engineering studies and foot traffic studies and safety studies and the cost of everything. So they're kind of two separate animals in my mind, and that's the way I've looked at it in the past, too, and it worked really well to have them kind of separated.
So if we would be looking at the subcommittee, then would there be anybody on here that would be interested? I'm assuming Roger would be interested.
Before we go that far, I mean, there are, if you look at like DePere, they did a separate bicycle pedestrian element of their comprehensive plan under transportation element. So a lot of different communities have handled this a lot of different ways. And we talked about Brown County. They have their county plan. DePere has their plan. I mean, there's a number of other plans. And we have looked at this a lot. It's just how far are we going to take this? And I think it'd be helpful to have Trevor or Brad or somebody. We need to tie this into our outdoor recreation plan, because like Sunset Park or some of these other opportunities that come along, or opportunities we've talked to, is there other bridges that should go from the East River Trail over into Bellevue or other areas? Our transit data, maybe contacting Brown County and seeing, are there buses with bike racks? Who's using those buses? And maybe we can do a survey or look at, normally there's a boarding and a lighting survey that's done every few years, and they can tell you what are the major stops, what are the destinations where they're going, is there 5 people here, 13 people, those kind of things. And then we can look at what are the facilities in those areas. And we went on our tours also last year, and last 2 years we went on our tours, and we have some of our areas like St. Joseph. Somehow it shows up in our existing plan that there should be sidewalk on one side and not on the other. And I don't know why that decision was made. Riverside's got no facilities on it right now. So, I mean, there's some things we don't need a committee. Just looking at a map as a group, we can say, hey, that doesn't make sense. But for more of this in-depth stuff, a lot of people, they hire consultants. But, I mean, we probably could take this on as a subcommittee. But we'd have to have, I don't know if there's the ability to bring in Brown County to do some of the mapping. They already have a lot of the existing mapping data. And we can get from DOT, the 6-year program, I actually have that in my car for another meeting coming up. We can get Brown County, what projects they have. All this stuff ties in to look at the immediates, but then there's also the long term, what's our goals and what are we trying to connect. So,
I thought what we were doing with our, or trying to do based on our comprehensive plan update, was have a framework comp plan where we could have subordinate plans that kind of plugged into it. The comp plan would refer to, and that's why we could have a standalone bike ped plan or a standalone visioning statement, and the comp plan refers to those, and those can be updated independently. So.
And that's why, if you notice in our Safe Routes to School plan, we never really had a good village bicycle pedestrian map. So we kind of plunked it here at Safe Routes to Schools, and then we plunk in a community map, which it's probably not adequate, so it's time to update some of those.
So what do you recommend is the best place to start? To information gathering?
I think we should look at what are the surrounding plans that are already out there. I mean, this is... DePere has a good plan, and we've talked about libel and about how what's the facilities that are in DePere versus what's here. We've never designated our section. Well, our section is a bicycle route, I do believe. I'm not sure if it's signed. I think it is signed in DePere, but just things like that. What are the other connections that are in the area? I don't know if Alloway has somebody participating, and there's that, Brad or Trevor mentioned that connections of the Fox River Trail and the East River Trail, do we have a representative that's following that to make sure that's connected? I mean, maybe we need to get involved in some of these regional efforts that might benefit us also. Okay.
If you allow Trevor and I to put together as many plans that are out there, identify some other potential key individuals that we may want to bring into this, find out what kind of assistance from county planning can provide to us and bring it back.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's just kind of gather as much information as we can. The good thing is and we're getting some direction based on the discussion today, so that's what we needed. And maybe this is the appropriate time to talk about the Fox River Trail connection from Webster Avenue down to Fox River Trail along Heritage Hill.
Mm-hmm.
That project's going to be let in February. So we are moving forward with a lot of these things.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're saying, there's this is happening here and this is happening there, but really does everyone know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we need to bring together and make sure we are identifying the rest of the areas that are not being connected. And we need to look at that easement that Jim was referring to earlier. There's a little bit of homework that needs to be done. And let us kind of work on that and bring it back at another meeting.
And I think other things, there's so much data, like, and maybe Becky would have from the Brown County Health Department, what's the obesity rate? I mean, it'd be nice to know what's the status of Alloway. What data would the Brown County Health Department have? It'd be nice to go on the DOT website. You can see what are the traffic counts from the last few years. Bring some of those maps, and maybe we have a discussion here, unless people want to have a small subcommittee.
What's your feeling on that? Do we want to look at that, or do you want to go to a subcommittee?
I think until we get more direction, it would be better if we all looked at it. And then we can decide where we want to go from there after we gather some more information before we make that decision.
I'm kind of in favor of that approach also. I think, you know, when the more of us together kind of brainstorming, you know, ideas come out, and now we have some kind of direction for maybe Brad and Trevor. And if we form a subcommittee, then so we'll get together and we meet and it's like, well, okay.
No.
where are these, you know, where do we, you know, I think there's some kind of synergism going forward, at least initially, with having us stay together and hear what you guys have to bring to us and talk about it from there. Maybe a subcommittee's, you know, appropriate later on, but to start off.
When you start to think about all the different plans that have been written, what's part of a plan or a group that wrote the plan for the East River Trail expansion. Mm-hmm. I mean, that one should be recognized because that also ties into potentially 57 if that ever, that bridge ever goes in. So there's a lot of different things that I think once we gather all those various plans, and we can start to piece something together that makes sense for us.
But we also need to look at missing elements. For instance, our primary commercial corridor for retail is Webster Avenue, and there is no real bicycle ped transportation concept for that street. So it's not even on the county bike ped plan. So
I guess the last element I'd like to look to the future, if we go forward and look at a plan, it's fine to look at the needs, but I'd like to set us up as best as possible to go after grants in the future. So talking about some of those connections and missing links, that would be helpful in one big document. I know I've mentioned this from my days at DOT. Someday the 172 bridge is going to be reconstructed, so I always say we should put that in there. That's going to be 40 years or less that we want a bicycle pedestrian facility. And at least by putting it in the plan now, it's going to take many years till it happens, but it's just something we got to set ourselves up for the future.
So that's something that I know on the agenda, it's the approval of an approach to the plan, but this is something that we can just have you gather information and bring it back to a later meeting. Is there anything else on that? Anybody else would like to say? Okay. Number 8 is discussion of rezoning the Green Avenue Water Station.
Is somebody going to get back to Becky because she came to this group? Okay. We should close the loop. Thank you.
And Trevor, the rezoning? Or Brad? Okay.
Back in 2008, we talked to the board and to the public about selling the old Green Avenue pump station, and it has sat since 2008. And right now we may have someone interested in purchasing that property. But in doing so, looking at how it's currently not zoned anything, it's zoned village owned. So we need to come up with whatever is the best zoning for that property. And so one of the two things that we looked at, because there's so much commercial around there, which is commercial, see office residential, there's duplexes, there's multifamily apartments, and then businesses around that area. So whether or not this actual purchase of this property goes through, it's yet to be determined, but it's looking like it's going to go in that direction and may become potentially as a residence home as well. So I guess we're looking for a little direction as far as what you may look at as a zone for this location.
By C office residential, you are in fact referring to C professional office district?
That's great.
Correct. I think one of the other options that is out there is doing the PDD process.
But that can, no matter what it's zoned, that process can take place for the property.
Correct. So. You're correct.
But if we zoned it commercial and somebody came in with a use that would meet all the requirements, we wouldn't, similar to the apartment building, they wouldn't have to go through the PDD procedure if they were able to meet the requirements. So with the PDD, because it is adjacent, it does abut single-family residential at the back of the property and duplex, I think with the PDD we'd have a lot more control and a lot more flexibility than a straight rezoning. So I would prefer to see us wait to see what wants to go in there and have them go through the PDD. If it's commercial, and they really only have, I think, like 3 parking spaces there, 2 on a driveway and 1 on the garage area, in front of the garage, any type of a commercial use is going to have parking requirements. So if we just zoned it commercial, there might not be enough parking. But if it was if we waited and did it as a PDD and somebody came in and said, I only have one person to stop here every day, I don't have deliveries, that it would be, we could be more specific to the property and the use, I guess.
Are we able to designate parcels PDD without having a plan? I don't think we are.
No.
I don't think we are either. No.
They'd have to come in. We would have to leave it the village owned and then have them come in with a proposal.
I suggest that they come in with that proposal as a PDD. You know, that's one of the two properties that's in our, from our intensive survey study, that's, you know, we have a grant out and we have a contractor that's putting together, you know, the paperwork to present that as a National Historic Register property. So I don't know how that figures into it. But it's just, you know, it's just in case anybody forgot. You know, we've committed funds and we have committed and are spending funds to put together the paperwork to make that request to the state to pass it on. So
it's in the process.
It's in the process.
So why would the village be moving forward to get rid of this property?
I think because they can.
If there's somebody probably that's interested in purchasing it.
Only, but, you know,
it
hasn't
been used in years.
Is there an advantage to rezoning it? Is there a advantage for the marketability of the parcel from rezoning it to one of the?
There might be a disadvantage as part of the doing commercial and not having your property.
I mean, if we leave it village owned, then they have to come in with a PDD proposal. They're forced to go through that process. So I don't know if that's more difficult for a developer or if it's easier for a developer to look at it and say, oh, that's a commercial parcel. No, I can come in with just a site plan review and it's easier for me. So I'd like some advice on that.
Yeah. You can let the kid under the bag. It's somebody who would like, I'm the realtor somebody who would like to use it as the combination art studio live space. We have an artistic district down there, we have a dance studio, art stores, that type of thing. It's not a high value commercial building like we have on Webster Riverside. It's more in a more of a neighborhood type of facility that fits into the community. But the need for live workspace is going to continue to expand. We have several blocks in town that have historically been, for the last 100 years, the workspace on Webster Avenue across the street from Webster Avenue Market. So our town, we have a 200-year history of having the workspace. Cottage industry was, by definition, the workspace. We've always had the workspace in Green Bay, in Dalloway. And so this would, we're going to need to come up with something official to convert a village surplus pump house into a workspace.
So if we would rezone it to either commercial or see professional office, they don't allow dwelling as being a part of that. So they would have to
see professional does.
It used to. That's and Trevor and I looked at that. That's been removed. There's still, I don't know when that was removed, but there's still some reference to it in the parking ordinance where it refers to what a single family dwelling would need for parking in a C professional office, but it's not listed as a principal use or as an accessory use under C professional office. So right now we don't have a zoning category that would allow a residence and a commercial property in the same building. So if we did zone it one way or the other, the ordinance either would have to be changed. I don't know that you could get a variance because it's not a dimensional type of a thing, it's a use. I know when I was here, and you probably remember, Brad, the house on the corner of Broadview and Libel, and she put in the electrolysis. At that time, that was allowed as a conditional use in the single-family residential, and that they don't allow businesses like that. That must have been removed at some point after that. They don't allow businesses in a single-family residential as like a conditional use or a special use, so that isn't even an option anymore. So at this point, the PDD is probably going to be the best route without having to rewrite the ordinance, which could open up a can of worms. You don't really know what that would do for other properties by allowing residences to be within a commercial use.
Can I ask about the historic or the landmarks application? Did you address just the building or the whole site? Because the site isn't that. There's something on the back part of that site that's significant.
Water tower.
That's part of the building, too, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's connected. They just assumed it was part of the building.
They do identify that tank in their application. They do go on to explain it. So it's part of the application that went to the
And if someone, that would be a problem for someone if they wanted to develop the site, retain the building, but put an addition on the back that could provide for more rentable space, living space.
I'm not sure how that would be affected. It wouldn't be locally designated. Correct me if I'm wrong here. It wouldn't be locally designated. It would be on the National Register, so it would need to come to us for a certificate of appropriateness, correct? So as long as, I'm not sure what the National Register requirements are on that, or who they would get, because they wouldn't come to us for a certificate of appropriateness, and maybe if it's on the back of the building, somebody at a national or a state level would say that that's fine because it's not changing the street view. I don't know.
Just to take a step back, I'm having flashbacks on other developments that we've had in the village. Because this is a village property, should we, and we've talked about having charrettes or engaging the community before we make a decision, is there an opportunity to maybe have a community meeting or maybe some of the neighbors in the area and say, hey, this is a village property. They're used to it being a village property. Now all of a sudden something substantial or maybe something not as substantial would happen, but just to give them that opportunity before a decision's made by this group and the board, and then they're totally reactionary because it's the first time they've heard about it. I mean, we've talked about maybe, and we're not locked in, so I'm not sure if we make a decision, we're just putting a bullseye without all the information from the community. Maybe we should have a meeting. Maybe we have a meeting here and say we're going to have a discussion at the Plan Commission, invite so many neighbors from whatever direction, and then we're getting their feedback. Unless there is there a time commitment that this has got to happen immediately?
Not that I'm aware of. It's coming up, you know, sooner rather than later. So it's, we're on the simmer now.
Because I've heard this, I mean, McCormick-Coleman, all these other, you guys just, you get, and this is different because this isn't a private development, this is village property. So that's, I guess I would throw that out as a consideration.
Without even being able to get to the entire zoning ordinance yet, is there a, time frame that you have to publish in the newspaper or public hearing that there's going to be the sale of the property? Is that 30 days? Or is that, what's the notice requirement for the sale of the public property in Wisconsin? I don't know.
Not sure.
So I believe there's a timeline where it gets published and that could be advertised. And then the only other concern, I totally agree with everybody's points, is that I've only driven by the property once. I don't know as well as everybody here, but from a layman's point of view, it's situated in such a way that it might be difficult to find somebody to go through the PDD process or have the means to go through a PDD process to develop that property because it's not going to generate that much revenue.
Right? That's true.
So that's my only concern with that. I believe that it's the character of the neighborhood and the buffer that it provides between the duplexes and the rest of the commercial lends itself to commercial. I don't feel strongly either way, but the PDD might make it difficult for it ever to be sold or developed. Just another thing there.
That's kind of why I would prefer to designate it commercial and then let somebody else come in with a PDD proposal based on that zoning.
There's got to be a lot of improvements that are necessary to the building in order for it to be habitable, right? I mean, for an occupancy permit to be provided, there's probably a lot of hoops.
I guess just taking another step back, if we look, Green to the west has got sidewalk, west of Libel. Is there ever plans to have sidewalk from Libel on Green all the way down to Green Isle Park?
Yes, on one side.
So maybe that would, I mean, so that type of planning perspective, maybe we should, maybe that would help make the decision.
Which side? They were going to put the sidewalk in? Oh, it's going to be on the south side.
I think you're right.
Because that's the way it is on the other part of
the green.
So that doesn't impact it, but okay. It's good to talk about.
I had a question about if we were to have it designated as e-commercial district. I guess what I'm trying to think about is which designation or which decision would put the fewest roadblocks in front of the potential buyer, because this building might sit vacant for another 10 years, you know, if we don't. And I believe, just knowing what we know now from what Jim said, I mean, that does fit that neighborhood. There's kind of an arts, and I was just next door the other day at the frame shop there, you know, and so there's some kind of momentum around continuing to have that neighborhood look like that and have a destination for people that want to sell and produce art. And so my only concern is that we do the thing that's the least, that puts the least number of roadblocks in front of someone who wants to buy it and fix it up. And it's kind of sounding like, I thought maybe the PDD was, but I don't know how simple we can make that for somebody, you know, considering the fact that it's not inhabitable now and not in compliance with a lot of requirements. I don't know, are there any opinions about whether that could be a simple process, or is that an overwhelming process for one person? I don't know the answer.
I don't know the answer because I haven't been through the PPP process yet.
I've only been through it for developers who have a goal in mind and a large-scale operation, not a single person who might shy away. I don't know.
Well, knowing what the use, what the new owner would want to use the building for, there isn't a zoning district that would make it any easier for him at this time unless we changed the ordinance. So we can't say if we make it commercial, it'll be easier for that person because they can't put the home in the commercial district. So I don't know if you were looking at changing the ordinance, but I would hesitate to do that for one specific use because we don't really know what the impact would be for the rest of the village.
Can't the PDD process make it easier for them
It does, because it offers the flexibility.
Yes, and it's the rules.
It's, right. It's
on paper, but the practicality of developing the plan means they have to hire a consultant.
Yes, I understand that, and that's expensive.
Well, it would depend on what they would want to do. If they're looking at primarily leaving the outside the way it is and they feel that there is enough parking for whatever this recording studio needs, that they may not need somebody to prepare site plans. No, if this is going to be opened up for business and the public would be in there, this would have to go to the state for a change of occupancy anyway. So they'll have to obtain a design professional to submit to the state. But for what we look at, if there are a few lights out there on the building, I believe that there were some light fixtures on the outside. If they don't want to leave they don't want to change the parking, there might not be a lot that we would have to look at the PDD level. I believe there is some landscaping there, but if you look at the items that we look at, would there be a dumpster enclosure? Possibly not. I don't know if this is a residence mixed, if then the municipal garbage service would just pick up their garbage can, but there might be very little that would need to be changed if they're very specific and they can show us that what they currently have will meet their needs for this type of a business.
But then we're basically locking it up for this one concept that's coming out, and we're keeping it from being available to other commercial developers who might want to look at it.
That's true.
And it just aren't, because right now, on everybody's internet, when they look at properties, it comes up as village-owned, not as an available property.
Mm-hmm. It would be very specific for them. I believe when OSCO, the CVS, went in, I believe that their PDD is for a pharmacy. So if that building went up for sale, it was approved for a pharmacy. So PDDs do that. They make it very specific, which if this is a use that will only have one or two people stopping to use the business, that's fine. If we left it more general and they left and then a commercial business, somebody that fit into the commercial category, went in there and they generate a lot of traffic, and weren't planning on making any changes to the site, they wouldn't have to come to site plan review, right, Trevor? But then all of a sudden there could be a problem with parking.
Has the village been actively trying to sell the property since 2008?
It's just been for sale. It has not been marketed.
There were a couple of inquiries. Yeah. Historic Preservation were told that somebody was looking at it, I think, as a house, and then maybe that was before your time, Howard. Maybe it was just one person that was looking at it for a home.
Do you know why they walked away from it?
I think the amount of work that's needed.
Right. Would they have to, I mean, were there chlorine tanks in this pump house? And
they've been removed.
They've been removed.
Our historic Galloway Society was offered it to rent for $1 a year, and we didn't want it.
It was pretty much gutted, so it would need everything.
Okay.
Inside. It's been shut off for at least since 2008.
I think about its viability as a living space, but at the same time, restrictions are harder on a commercial business because you've got other people coming in, right?
Right.
It's just kind of insane. I can imagine the money.
Well, I think that if there's one thing Galloway's short on, it's commercial space, and if we can add a parcel in what is already a commercial district. You know, it's a small parcel. You still have.
Does that preclude somebody from doing this dual use, though, if we designate it commercial? Then
it doesn't. If they want to do a dual use, they have to go through the PDD process. It doesn't matter what it's zoned. That's the word. So that's the one of the main issues behind our zoning code, because it really doesn't allow for traditional neighborhood development.
Right.
Or, you know, or mixed use.
If you did zone it commercial, is there, as it sits right now, is there enough parking on there, or is it exempt from parking requirements because of its size? Can you zone some, if you're going to zone it commercial, and say there's a couple thousand square feet in there, there's a parking requirement, and there's only so many parking spaces there now. You've got to take a look at, you know, if you're telling somebody that it's zoned commercial, there's not enough parking right now, I don't think, if you were to use the whole building for commercial space.
Do you think I would do today if it's too small of a building?
From the parking requirements?
Does that include all of the usable space on there, the tenants and everything? Or that was just the open space?
I believe it's just the open space.
I think we'd have to come back and talk about it. But I think if you counted all the square footage under the roof, and counted that as commercial space, you'd be short on. You might not have. You'd be short on parking.
Do you have a square footage on the tank portion, though?
I haven't measured it.
Okay.
But I was surprised when I found out it was exempt. But then all of a sudden I realized that you're only talking about the small part of the front and the tanks.
Now, the old Village Hall site, what is that zoned?
It's zoned Village Hall as well.
Okay. Are you looking at having that be a designated zoning district?
At this point, no, they have not.
And that one's being marketed right now as Village Hall. After hearing this, what's everybody's thoughts on this as far as zoning it or not zoning it, leaving it as is?
I was going to ask what would happen if we left it as it is. And, is there a reason why we have to make a change?
Has the village brought in a real estate investment consultant on any of its property that it wants to liquidate?
I don't think so. Not in my time here, no.
No? I think that's probably the best course of action, is to bring in someone like a CBRE or who can look at those properties and give us a report on what their potential is.
I did refer to our comp plan, and that there wasn't anything specific in the comp plan about that area.
By making this decision, we wouldn't be spot zoning something. I mean, I understand if we left it the way it was, we wouldn't be considered spot zoning, because we know there's an interested party and we know what they want to do, and we're taking action because of this specific circumstance. So I'd hate to be guilty of spot zoning, because we know who the potential buyer is and will be using.
Mm-hmm. Your residential, you're surrounded by residential and commercial, so you could pull either way. And so this would be a perfect example of very similar to the properties that are up on the trail.
Yeah, it's abutting four different types of zoning districts. Take a pick.
Yeah, my only concern was the use, that we know that the potential uses will be. And so that's
just to think we have no choice but to do nothing. That seems like the only choice we have. They'd have to go through the PDD. Because if we do it commercial, that eliminates the living there.
You can hook up back into a PDD.
Right.
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 I guess it comes down to the village's desire to sell the property. If they really want to sell it and market it, and if it's zone commercial and market to a much wider audience, if they're content with holding on to it for the time being, then they could use it how they see. Either way, it would have to go through the PDD as Roger and Wes said.
I do think there will be a problem with marketing, though, if it's commercial. So, what do you do in that instance?
Well, then they go for a variance. Site plan review and variance, and because we have the traditional neighborhood development aspects in the site plan review, then we can consider alternative parking arrangements. So it could be that we address a district parking plan at that time, because we have a commercial district there, and maybe we can develop, you know, get all of the property owners to have a shared parking situation where they all contribute. You know, some people have lots of parking, others have little parking.
Right across the street, there's lots of parking.
There'd be a lot across the street.
Right across the street.
And maybe street parking should be permitted, too. So.
Seems like another thing to consider would be if the interested party falls through, what would we want to have it zoned? And I would think commercial, like what Roger was saying, is we're kind of short on commercial property in the village. And if we didn't have any interested parties, what would we want there? And I would think we'd be more likely to want commercial than residential.
Because it's probably more likely to happen.
I have a dumb question. Why can't they just simply add parking spaces to meet whatever requirement is necessary? I mean, there's land there, there's space. Why
Mm-hmm.
can't
you need green space too?
Well, how much green space is there?
There's an awful lot of green space there.
The number of
is there a lot of green space?
Sure. Look, the
well,
photographs.
If you take out that urban part, the tank. I was just thinking, what's
the whole
what,
tank
what
is
constraint
landscape.
Is there for adding more parking?
Oh, this is.
It's a small building. How many extra spaces? How many people could you put in that building? Probably not that many. So how many extra spaces might they need? Maybe three. So why don't they add three spaces and not have that be a roadblock again?
Okay.
So maybe commercial is the best thing.
Are you looking for a motion?
Well, it says discussion.
We'll look at, see if we can come up with the square footage of those names. See if it does work.
Mm-hmm. Well, and do you have any drawings of the building?
From 19.
It doesn't matter. It's just, I mean, I would like to see a section through the building. And the tanks for, you know, and just to see how they were built and what the potential for some kind of development in within them might be. There may be none. So.
Did this come from the village board? Are they asking
yep.
us to choose a zoning designation, a zoning district? Or
yeah.
It did?
Okay. It says here the village board asks the plan commission to recommend proper zoning.
It's just for discussion tonight. So.
Okay. But I think you're getting a sense that kind of a mixed approach is where our feeling is going on the commercial side.
So you'll do some further digging on it and bring some information back to the next meeting? Okay.
Okay.
Anything else on agenda item number 7 or number 8? Moving on to 9, approval of the 2014 Plan Commission annual report.
So this is, you know, a standard report that we do every year. In the accomplishments, I just went through what we did for the year. And I had a few things under the Plan Commission possible tasks. I didn't include the bike and pet thing, so I wasn't sure where we're going with that. Then on page 4, the fourth bullet item down, I wasn't sure. That was on last year's annual report. I wasn't sure if you guys covered that because there are three kind of ones up here. So if you did, if you wanted to revisit it.
I don't think we did cover it. And one of the things that came to mind right away during our last discussion is that mixed use, because I know it's in the comprehensive plan mentioned some places and we still aren't zoned to do any mixed use. It's always our goal to do mixed use, but we're not zoned to do. But won't we, our recodifications address some of that?
I think it will, because one of the biggest issues in the C professional office residence district, what was taken out of it seems to be conditional use section. I think what they wanted to do was refer back to our conditional use ordinance within the zoning code, but they never spelled that out. So I think that was just an oversight. I think the codification will probably address that.
Could we get a copy of the scope of services for the recodification?
And then one final question before you guys discuss. I also had the very last bullet item before you reach future possible transmission tasks. This was brought up at a previous transmission meeting of sending penny articles. I guess I was just looking for a little direction if you want. Send just via email and just kind of as informational stuff, or we can get like more discussion items at meetings. And
maybe some kind of combination if you email out. I really appreciated all the articles that you sent about form-based codes, and
me too.
So being able to read through that and then maybe have just a short discussion about them at the meeting. If it's pertinent, especially if it's pertinent to something that we have on the agenda or that we know is coming up in future agendas.
November meeting, you guys asked me to put together a schedule for the year. Honestly, from the possible tasks, you know, this is here, I wasn't sure if I could really come up with a solid one. I looked at what Alex put together last year. I don't know if I could really follow that format, because a lot of stuff is kind of ongoing with the codification and the quarters.
I guess part of the request, and some of those things, if they're ongoing, that's fine. I mean, you can always just note some of the things that are ongoing, just so we prioritize and so we can go back when we get mid-year, June of 2015. Barb, as the great chair, can look at it and say, hey, we're on task here. Ooh, we missed these four things. So it's just something we can use as a checklist to evaluate at the end of the year. Was our expectation right on? Did we accomplish enough or not enough? But I think that bicycle pedestrian plan is going to take some time. Mm-hmm. So that's almost a new priority from what we had Because, I mean, if we understand, it's a lot of work. I mean, what we're if we're going to do a good job with a bicycle pedestrian plan, we're not going to do this in 2 months and say, great, cut the ribbon. It's not going to be like that.
I don't know if we still answered Trevor's question regarding the UWGB analysis. Did we really want to do anything more on that? Or we don't even need that on there anymore? That is, how old is that thing now? Like 6 years old, isn't it?
No, but it's still valid,
change.
But it's,
right.
I think maybe it should be just consolidated with, or we should just have a line item, to reassess our zoning code and to come up with a plan to update our zoning code.
I'm laughing because I think there's only two trustees left from when that discussion happened. So.
So kind of maybe take out that and add in reassess the zoning code and develop an approach.
Yeah. We know we need to update our zoning code. We started that process with building in those traditional neighborhood development aspects to our site plan review process and going through the site plan and PDD checklists. And so the next step was to come up with a work plan to update our zoning code. So we, or at least was to update our plan, our comp plan, which we did, and now the next step is to update the zoning code. So, but our comp plan took 6 months of discussion, and that was adding several meetings, going to an every 3 week schedule of meetings. So, working on the zoning code will certainly be as much or more work. So.
But I can take years. Better to get started now.
I think Roger's right with everything, and if you throw in a bicycle pedestrian plan, depending on what other business we have, we might need to go back to more than one meeting a month.
Or certainly a subcommittee framework. Or people who have an interest are more intensively studying the issue and reporting back. So.
We just recently adopted a new zoning code in Bellevue. It was mostly a cleanup, but it was a recodification, and the zoning administrator would work on a section. It took about a year process, and the zoning administrator would work on couple sections and take them to the plan commission at each of their meetings, and they would just review a couple of the sections at a time for input. But it did take about a year.
Depends how fancy you want to get.
and whether ours is a rewrite or a cleanup and just a reformat.
Well, we have to decide what we wanted to do first.
Right.
So. And get that approved by the village board before we start any other process. So come up with a concept framework for the zoning code, present it to the board, get their buy-in, and then move forward in stages.
You could do it that way. We didn't do that way in Bellevue, though.
So. Yeah, if it's a cleanup, that's one thing. But if what we determine, is a different kinds of format, different kinds of goals, allowing different kind, more combined uses, things that aren't permitted now. That's a different sense, and we want to make sure that that's going to go along with the way the kind of vision that the village board is seeing for the community.
As I recall, one of the main things of the UWGB study was the fact that our zoning code is preventing us from meeting our comprehensive plan. So, that's what we have to figure out. What do we want? Or in our comprehensive plan, how is our zoning, back to the document, how is our zoning keeping us from doing it? Mm-hmm.
there any other comments on the annual report?
You know what we might, what might help the report a little bit is to distinguish what are actually accomplishments and what are actions we took. And the actions we took, things that we were given to do, you know, and respond back to would be responding actions, responding to input. And then, but then accomplishments, you know, redoing the update of the comp plan, for example, that would be an accomplishment. Is distinct from that because that's something we generated, you know. Transitioning to a new chairperson is something we accomplished. So,
I think that's a good idea. When we started this report a few years ago, the intent was just to get something to document accomplishments. So when new people like Wes come, they have a starting point. But I think, Roger, you're right. It's got a lot of room to improve as we move forward. So I think that's a good idea.
To the board, are those accomplishments or recommendations, or what would you call those?
Well, sometimes, for instance, the recommendation on the zoning change with respect to cell phone towers, we were forced to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's an action taken. It's not an accomplishment. So,
recommendations upheld is a good one. From the Plan Commission to the Village Board.
So,
like a success rate.
I'll tell you, we've done much better since we've had a Village Trustee on this Plan Commission because it wasn't so good before that.
But you could, you know, I noticed that there were a number of items for CSMs. You know, those mm-hmm. should all be gathered together in one group. You know, CSM action. If you're going to list them all up, you know. And just so that, you know, a person can look at those actions and accomplishments and see, you know, an organizational framework for what we're doing. So common things should be together rather than just maybe chronologically listed or something like that. So then it becomes more of an educational tool, which is one of the goals for the report. So.
Trevor, could you make these changes as recommended and then bring this back to us next month in the new format?
Okay.
Does anybody have anything else that they would like to see changed on that or any recommendations? Okay.
I didn't know we hired a full-time planner. By the way.
You might want to distinguish who did the hiring. I think we only recommend.
Yeah.
Okay, the number 10 is the next meeting date is February 23rd. And agenda items. The annual report and additional information on the Green Avenue Water Station.
And the bike ped plan.
Yep. Yes, and the bike ped plan. Gathering the information on that. Mm-hmm. Anything else?
Well, we should hear about the vision.
And also the Riverside Quarter study.
More update.
Mm-hmm. Is that going to take time? Is there going to be meetings here with that quarter study, or we always have to go to other groups?
What are the venues?
Well, there's the open house. The next thing that will be coming up in a couple weeks is the open house, and that's here.
Okay.
Right. Is it an open house, or is it a stakeholder meeting?
That's on the corridor study, so that would be an open house to everybody.
Okay, the corridor study as opposed to the...
Yes, and then at the DOT reconstruction, I don't know if I'm on one of the stakeholder committees and I haven't heard anything for a meeting.
We don't hear anything.
No, until maybe like a couple weeks ahead of the meeting they let us know. So we can keep that under announcements, the update on the DOT reconstruction. I don't know if there will be anything to report in the next month.
There is a scheduled meeting on the 27th. I believe Graves is to have that convention with this meeting.
For the corridor. Okay, on the 27th?
Of April, I'm sorry.
Oh, the 27th of April. Okay.
Did I hear correctly that the strategic planning information was going to be shared with the village board on 217?
Yes.
So then would that information be accessible? I believe we wanted to see.
Mm-hmm. Did you email
us? Yeah, he said that, yeah.
Okay, perfect.
Not an agenda issue, but anything happen with my request to the board that paper documents of the current status of design for the Riverside Drive reconstruction?
It's on the village. I don't know if they brought any up front or not.
Not that I'm aware of.
I know they made it so it's on the front homepage.
Okay.
And I know for sure.
So you have the updates for next month then too. Okay. If there aren't any other agenda items, then I'd be looking for a motion to adjourn. We have a motion and a second to adjourn. Is there any discussion? If you want to vote, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you. Yeah.